Yud Ches Teves, Monday the 16th of January, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Saberski, Living Life to its Fullest.
Morning everybody. There's a story told of a simple villager that went to a big town. And by Yom Mahim, he came from a simple village where they were walking around in horse and carts. He came to the big town and there was a new invention there called the steam engine. So his cousin shows him around and he explains to him exactly how the steam engine works. His cousin from the big city, he's trying to explain to him what's going on here. So he explains to him they heat up, you know, they take coals and make a fire. And the fire makes heat, and the heat makes water into steam, and the steam they push through various things, and it forces the wheels to go around, and the steam engine can go. So he's explaining and explaining, and the fellow's standing there, he's watching, he's listening. So at the end, the cousin says to him, says, you understand? He says, yeah, brilliant, absolutely brilliant invention. But I've just got one question for you, and that is, where exactly are you meant to attach the horses?
What?
He's a country folk.
Whether this story happens or not is debatable, but it's bringing out a point. And it's a point of our life, basically. And that is that we're walking around with horse and carts, and when we're faced with a steam engine, the only thing we can do is look where we can attach our old ideas to. This simple villager, the idea of this vault, is that the simple villager, he's been living his whole life in a backward place with horse and cart. He couldn't for the life of himself imagine how it's possible for a steam train to power itself and go along without any horses pulling it. How's it possible? So therefore, you have to take the whole steam train and put it back into his world. Oh, so where am I going to put the horses now? Which is basically the story of our life. Let me explain. Then we're learning now the parshas from Shemois, the parshas of Mitzrayim, the Golos Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'll tell you a little tip. You know, when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to Seder night, there's no time to prepare beforehand, right? It's very, very difficult, you know, they're under pressure, cleaning, children coming back home, whatever it is. There's too much pressure on before Pesach, you can't prepare properly. Now's the time to do it. Learning Shemois, Va'era, Boye, B'Shalach. Learn the parshas, and we'll have a deeper understanding of what's going on in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So let's learn the parsha of today's parsha. One point in this parsha through the eyes of the Mesirus Shoram, how he learnt Pshat in this parsha. Mesirus Shoram writes, at the beginning of the Sefer, he writes the first middah he describes is the middah of Zahirus. The middah of, which he explains in his words, is that a person should start thinking about what he's doing. Which means he should start making a cheshbon, thinking of how he's living his life. And he shouldn't walk around life like a blind man in the dark. And he writes that this is one of the main strategies of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara comes along and makes life so pressurized and so difficult and so many tyrannies. He's got one purpose and one purpose only. Is that we shouldn't think. We shouldn't think what we're doing. And he says that was the story of Pari in this week's Sedra. In this week's Sedra, the end of the Sedra, Pari said, Tichbat ha'avoido al ha'anoshim v'yasuba v'al yishu v'divrei shaka. When Moshe and Aaron came to ask that the Yidden should go out in Mitzrayim, so Pari's retaliation was to make the gzera of that they shouldn't be able to get straw and they should have to work extra hard. And he said himself, my aim is tichbat ha'avoyda ala anoshim. The work should be too strong for the people to do. And therefore they shouldn't have time to think about going free. And he says, Pari's Eitzah was not only they shouldn't have time to rebel, He says Pari's main idea was they shouldn't even have time to think about it. And he says that is the story of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara of Mamash comes along and he makes so many terrors and so many worries and so many little problems in life. He just wants people to have no time or head to think, which way am I going? Listen to these words. The Yetzer Hara knows. If people will start thinking a little bit about the way they're going, it's definite that they will straight away begin doing tshuva and living a better life. The regret about their life will go and get stronger and stronger. Until the end result of that will be that they will completely stop doing averus. That's what the Mesirus Sharon says. That is the purpose of what the Yetzer Hara, that's his aim, that's his strategy in life. You know, we're brought up, perhaps, not brought up, but in the world, perhaps, the word Musa has got a certain negative connotation about it, it's like something which knocks you, which bangs you, which leaves you feeling a bit worthless. I'd just like to rephrase the word Musa and bring it out in a bit of a different light. A friend of mine once was in London, and the Sklerna Rebbe was there in London. And he wanted to go into it. And the Sklerna Rebbe was his day revolves around Torah and Avodas Hashem, and the time he had for seeing people was something like 2 in the morning. And there was huge queues forming to see him. And this fellow waited, and he waited something like in the middle of the night. He gets in, he gives him a kvittel, and the Rebbe asks him a question. Somebody from Gates says, the Rebbe asks him a question. He says, do you learn Musa every day? So the fellow was honest. He said, I try. He didn't say, I do. I said, I try. So he said to him, Die probierst essen jeden Tag? Do you try to eat every day? That was the answer he got, and then he found himself outside the door. That was the end of the short audience. He found himself outside the door with a lot of food for thought, and when he pulled me over, he left me with a lot of food for thought. You know, the point is that we're not talking about something which is a luxury, which is something which in yeshiva we're taught, you know, you should learn every day. It's something which is life itself. And we understand when we learn the Mesirus Hasharim, we see that it's happened life itself, and it's the Yetzer Hara's whole strategy. And the Sklerna brought it out in a very simple way. It's not something you can afford the luxury of not doing. It's not something you can afford yourself the luxury of just trying to do. It's like bread and water. You just have to have it every day because you can't live without it. You know, they say the Chassam Sof used to learn every day in the Shir. Before he started, he used to learn Chavos Havos, piece of Chavos Havos every day. And he said about himself, this is Chassam Sof before. And he said about himself that a day that he doesn't learn Chavos Havos, he feels a clearness in his Yerushalayim. He feels something cooling down. And if the Chassam Sof could say that, then what should anybody in this generation say? So let's try and rephrase the whole thing. So let me tell you something which I once watched. It was a spectacle in shul somewhere, and an odd girl walked in, and he davened there. And the whole shul tensed up. You know, all the normal little, you know, all the normal banter, and all the normal, everybody was like tense and behaving themselves. And, you know, basically, what are you going to think of us, right? The idea is that when that Adam Godel walked into that shul, the people in that shul saw themselves in a whole new light. They saw themselves in a way how somebody else was watching them. And they realized that this is not a way of behaving in front of Adam Godel. And if they would have thought a step further, they might have thought that maybe this is not a way of behaving in front of Rabbi Shimon any day. But Rav Shlomo Lawrence in his Sefer writes, in Sefer B'mechitzosom, he writes the story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Oilbach Yisrael, the many times the greatest Baalus. The Kapishnitz Rebbe once came to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman Oilbach, Zeichet Tzadikim Nevroch. Kapishnitz Rebbe was from America, he came to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman Yisrael, and he was 20 years older than Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was Alti then. And when the visit finished, Rav Shlomo Zalman took him down to the road to be Menachem his guest. And they waited for a taxi. He was an old man, he was weak, the Kapishnitz Rebbe. So Rav Shlomo Zalman went inside and brought him out a chair to sit while he was waiting for a taxi. So the Kapishnitz Rebbe said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, he said, my father taught me to live my life imagining that there's a camera from Shemayim that is photographing every move of mine. And there's going to be a film in Shemayim. He said, what will that film look like if I'm sitting and the Pesach Kadir is standing? What do you think that film's going to look like? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said that over with greatest palace to his Talmidim again and again. He said he was zeicher to see a Yid who lived his life that there's a camera on him in the Shemayim. There's a camera that's taking a photo of what he does and what he did. So we might think that it's very difficult to live like that, and it makes a person feel worthless and he feels self-conscious. Let's try and rephrase that and rework that out in a different way. I want to tell you one of my frustrations in life. That sometimes I can give people a compliment. I try to give people compliments, you know. And very often I get this sort of reaction. You know, the fellow looks at me and says, you know, what? Me? You're talking about me? You being serious? Like, you know, he doesn't say those words, but the look on his face says it all. Basically, it's a well-known thing in today's generation. Some people call it low self-esteem, some people call it other words. But basically, people nowadays have got a feeling of worthlessness. We don't know our own powers. And people walk around their whole life, you know, there's a Yiddish saying, I don't know exactly how to translate it in English, as Meken Op Leben Aleven. A person can just get through life. Op Leben Aleven, just live it through and finished. Or you can live. People that are not aware of their own powers, of their own koichos, they can live through life without being aware of what koichos they've got. And that is one of the biggest tragedies in life. And I'm talking about in a positive way. In a positive way, one of the biggest tragedies in life is that a person doesn't realize his own positive koichos. Rav Shlomo Freifeld was a Yid. He was a Rashiva in Far Rockaway of Shah Yoshev. There's a book about it called Rav Shlomo. Fascinating book. He brings a vault there, and he says, which he himself did, he says, "Volachtu bedrochov." There's a mitzvah to go in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's ways. So the Mishnah Gemara says, "Ma hu rachum, mafatu rachum, ma hu chan, mafatu chan." There's a mitzvah to go and do chesed by the Rebbeinu Shlomo's chesed. So Rav Shlomo Freifeld says, we find the mitzvah by the Rebbeinu Shlomo of the atom mechayes kum. The Rebbeinu Shlomo gives life to every creature. So how can we do volachtu bedrochov on that mitzvah? So he says, with a good word, with a good smile, you can be mechayeh another Yid. You can give him life. How do you give him life? Because you make him believe in his own koichos. There's a story in that book, a nifledik story. There was a bacha called Eli came to his yeshiva. And he had reading difficulties. And he was very, very down. He couldn't learn. He was way behind anybody his age. He was completely down. He was knocked by the system. He came to Rav Shlomo Freifeld. Rav Shlomo Freifeld spent years giving him the confidence, giving him the koichos. And he got him a private rebbe to teach him line by line Gemara. And he encouraged him to work for years amidst a great struggle to memorize the first seven lot of chulim. And it took him years. And he encouraged him, and the whole time he was broken. He saw other boys his age were going way beyond him. And he just did it at his pace. And one day, there was an engagement in his house, in Shlomo Freifeld's house, one of his talmidim. And there was a lot of choshver rabbonim there. And they were speaking to him about his yeshiva, and he says, "Our yeshiva?" He says, "We've got goyim in our yeshiva." He says, "We've got geniuses here." So he looks around the room. Rav Shlomo Freifeld looks around the room and says, "Eli, come here." He calls Eli up front for everybody. It's the middle of the engagement. He says, "Eli, you show everybody here what we've got in our yeshiva." And he says, "You start saying starts saying Masechet Chulin. Start from the beginning. And Eli starts off, Mamash, he doesn't know what's hit him. He starts off, he's showing him that he knew every word. And he starts off, Kodesh Shochtin, Shtalsu Kshedah, and he carried on. Eventually, his confidence built. This was in front of Choshe Rabbonim, and the whole room got quiet. And the whole Olim was watching Eli saying blood after blood after blood, faultlessly, without a fault, without a problem. And they were astounded. They were astounded that a bocher in America could have mastered just fluently. And when it came to the end of the Zaran, Shem says, Genug, enough, you've shown already what we've got. And that was the story. Eli himself said after that, 15 years of humiliation and suffering were wiped out by Rav Shlomo in 15 minutes. It took him 15 minutes to stay over from the Beis to the Zion of Chulin, in front of all this Choshev crowd. He said in those 15 minutes, he wiped out 15 years of humiliation and suffering. You can give a person life. That's stammers that you say before anything else. You know, you give somebody a compliment. Something to think about. If you give a compliment in the right way, and you home in on something which he can believe in himself, you're giving him life because you're giving him koichos. Or but more so, we can give ourselves life. If we are mechaya ourselves, if we raise our ideals, and our sheifas, and our hasogas in our own koichos, if we will believe in our own koichos, we'll be mechaya ourselves. So what's the problem? Why don't we believe in ourselves? Because we don't see. Yeah, we've tried all many times, we've tried to change, and we've tried this, we've tried that. We don't see how it's possible. Now nothing's going to happen. So I want to tell you something. There's an organization in the world called Hatzolah. It's a worldwide organization. All over the place, wherever you go, basically nowadays, wherever there's a Kehillah, there's a Hatzolah. How did Hatzolah start? Hatzolah started because one man went by in Williamsburg and he watched somebody collapse on the street and die. And people panicked, everybody ran and screamed, and by the time the ambulance came, wherever it was too late. So, many people had seen that before, but that one man decided to take action. He bought himself a little machine of some sort which can help people in that matzav, and eventually the thing mushroomed and it evolved into what it is today. And who knows how many countless lives have been saved. Who knows how many countless people, their quality of life has been saved. By the fact that medical assistance was there within whatever it is, a couple of minutes, a few minutes, rather than 20 minutes of the ambulance. What happened? One man made one tiny step. One man, first of all, before he made the step even, he thought. Yeah, anybody can watch such a tragic scene and nothing will happen. But one man thought about it. He thought, what can I do? How can one man help the whole worldwide problem? Well, he did it. He started small, and eventually people copied him, and eventually, well, it is where we are today. There's a few ambulances here, a few ambulances there, there's it's unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable the Gemilas Chesed of it, the Hatzalas and Foshas, the whole thing. It's a huge, huge thing. How did it happen? Because one man took one step. And the truth is that this goes on in our lives on a huge scale without us realizing it. A little tiny change that a person can make can change volumes in the whole person's life. You know, the difference between Melet Op Alevin, the difference between just getting through life and living life is nothing but one small tiny change. Because if you're changing, you're living. Life means, when you say a tree dies, it stops growing. A person that's growing, that's it. He's in his mode of change, he's living. Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch says that the word Sameach is from the same root as Sameach. Happiness, which is a sign of life, is to do with Sameach. Something is growing, he is Sameach, he's living. A tiny change, that's all it is. A tiny change can take a person's life and make him into a mode of living life to its fullest, as opposed to just Melet Top 11, just getting through life. And there's a huge koichos a person has. But the Maseiros Shalom tells us, why do we not live our life? The Maseiros Shalom tells us why. He says a person that goes through life without thinking, he says, is like a blind man walking along the bank of a river. And he says it's very clear that eventually he's going to fall in. It's a very, very powerful moshla. But the Maseiros Shalom says that's what's happening in a person's life. If a person goes through life without thinking, then the cause is lost. So let me try and make a suggestion in a more positive way. How would you think? You know, you can go, you walk into your local Mochus forum and find a book about somebody that speaks to you and read through a little bit every day. One bit, one chunk of that book. And then, in the words of the Ramban, Kishatokum min Asefer, and there's a Geras Ramban, he says, Kishatokum min Asefer, you should look for something that you can apply in your own life. Read a book about somebody that inspires you, and take out one point. Try it on a daily basis. Try and take out one point. The difference between that and not doing that is the difference between living life and getting through life. That's the nekudah. We talk about Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Maseiros Shalom has translated for us what Mitzrayim means. As far as I'm right, that Mitzrayim means Meitzar. Means limitations, it means a border. A person's bordered in by a border, he's got limitations. The tragedy of Mitzrayim, and we all know that Mitzrayim is not something which happened a few thousand years ago. Mitzrayim is something which is happening, and we have to come out of it. It comes around the Pesach. We have to go out of Mitzrayim, and it's something which is pivotal in our life. And we mention it every single day. There's a mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, by day and by night, at the end of Krishna. There's a mitzvah, Sederaisa, of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because it's one of the Yisraelis HaMunah, and it's the Yisraelis of Yisraim. And the Maseiros Shalom tells us, what is Mitzrayim? What is the limitation of Mitzrayim? What is the limitation that Paris sought to impose? And he tells us, Tichbat Avoid Al Anoshim, that a person has to be in a state, the Yetzirah puts him in a state of Tichbat Avoid, that he shouldn't have time to think b'chlal. And when you haven't got time to think, then the Yetzirah has got you. And the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the idea of pulling out of our limitations. But it means pulling out of our natural habitat. You know, I was once by a bar mitzvah in Gated, and Reb Chaim Kaufman's creator of Rochel spoke, and he said to the bar mitzvah boy, how is it possible that Pari behaved like that? You know, we look at Pari, we look at him like a complete mamash b'shugun. You see mamash like clockwork. Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says it's going to be done, it's done. The next time, Sadea mamash is predicted, when do you want this to go away? Okay, tomorrow? I'll daven to Hashem tomorrow. Everything went like clockwork, up till Machas Bechiris, a complete Meshuggah. And then the biggest Meshuggah, the Ramban says already that Pari was a complete ridiculous thing to do. After all that, he chased him into the Yamsa. Mamash. So Reb Chaim said to him, how was this possible? How is it possible, human being, to be so Meshuggah that he doesn't see the writing on the wall, the Mamash, everything exactly like predicted? So he said, there's one Pasuk by Machas Dalma. It says, Vayifen Pari Vayovay El Beisai, Veleishot Sliboy Gamba Zeis. Pari returned back to his home, and he didn't think about what happened. So Reb Chaim said to the Bar Mitzvah, nothing happened here. Pari just came back to his palace. Outside his palace, he was quite impressed, yeah? When he came back into his palace, he came back to his familiar surroundings. Here, I am the king. This is where I live. And Veleishos Libegam Lezois, he didn't think about it. And that was the end of the story. And that was how Pari could come to do such crazy actions, such ridiculous things, is very simple. Apostle says, he didn't think about what he was doing. And everybody says, it says when Machas borrowed, it says they were warned to take their behemoths inside. And it says, Hayoris Devar Hashem took his behemoths inside. Vashaloy Sam Liboy didn't. And the question again is, how is it possible that somebody's got a whole herd of animals and he's warned that borrowed come and he's told to take them inside? So they say the same thing. But if some liberal, some people didn't think about it, you can get through life without anything. And that's what Maseiros Shalom tells us. This is the lesson. This is the story of Mitzrayim. And this is the story of Mitzrayim which is happening inside each and every person. B'chol yom v'yom. And every single day, the Yetzirah is there, busy stirring the pot. And busy making a person completely torrid in his whole life. in all his worries, in all his big worries, his little worries, all his arguments, his trivial things. One thing. Mesirus Shalom says that he's trying to stop us being misboinen umefakeh hamas rocha demem loy lebilti azayv nafshei lesakonas ha'avadin chas v'sholom. The idea of the Shalom of Zahiris is lebilti azayv nafshei lesakonas ha'avadin, to ensure that we don't land up like Paro, because the lesson of Paro, the Sforim writes, there's a little Paro inside each person, there's a little Mitzrayim, we are living in Mitzrayim in a certain way, and the Tzias Mitzrayim is a real thing in our life. And the idea is, like we said before, to see how somebody else is watching us and how we look. And I'll tell you one final aid to how you can do that in a very good way. You know, it's always easier to look at somebody else than look at yourself, right? So I'll just give you an aid to Lamashal, yeah? You watch somebody else growing up into a temper. Just watch it. It's absolutely fascinating. It's fascinating, I'm telling you. And you begin to wonder how a grown-up man can behave like that. But then you realize, you know, sort of sometimes you yourself behave like that. It's a way you can look at somebody else and you can see how somebody else looks at your behavior. Because if you look at somebody else and realize that I'm not so different, that's a way of bringing it into myself. So the idea is to be misbehaving with our care, to think about ourselves, to think about ourselves in a positive way, to build our koches, to believe in ourselves, to be mechai ourselves, to realize that each and every one of us possesses huge koches. Rav Moshe made a person, every person is the olam mole. Every person's got his own tafkid, his own job, and with his own koches to do that job. He would say every day, Sha'asa li kol tzarki, means Sha'asa li kol tzarki. Rav Moshe did everything for me that I need to do my tafkid. He gave me the koches to do my tafkid. And I shouldn't allow myself to be dragged down by the Yetzer Hara's feeling that he gives me that I'm worthless, that I can't. And through that, I have to find ways, like Rav Shlomo Freifeld did to Eli. And he was mechayeh him, he showed him that he can do something, he began to believe in himself. We have to start finding ways of seeing other people not only get into a temper and do ridiculous things, but seeing other people that live a higher life and try and think, that's what he's doing, maybe I can bring something of that into my life. And then we will change, we will grow, we will be have an embassy at Tzias Mitzrayim. And as Rav Shlomo Freifeld says, the embassy of Simcha comes from a chiyus of Sameach, Sameach. A person that grows, a person that lives life to its fullest, he's the emissary of Sameach. Rabbi Yishev, help me, Mekhim, but all of our, everyone.